everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. I'm glad it's Friday, actually, for no particular reason. But listen, I suggest you advertise your business or service on this network. Please patronize the advertisers who do advertise on this network. Get involved. 800-724-2719 is the number to call the network and arrange to have your business or service advertisements running on this network. 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664 is our address. We are on Facebook, Republic Broadcasting Network. We are also on Twitter at RBN Live is our Twitter name, so get involved. We can say that until hell freezes over, but if you don't get involved, well, it ain't going to be pretty. That's all I know, Bill. It's just not going to be a pretty thing.
Arm yourself with the truth. I mentioned that the 16th Amendment was not properly ratified. If you want to get that research, it's a two-volume set by, it's called The Law That Never Was, and it was done by, I think, Bill Benson and Red Beckman. So if you can log on and you can get that information on the Internet. Now what those documents provide are certified copies of the actions in each one of the states, and it's proven that most of the states didn't ratify the amendment properly. Change the words, and you can't do that.
You know, we were talking about Romney for a few minutes a little while ago, and you were telling me, Bill, when they were going to sign NAFTA, you were parading around. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. That sounds sarcastic, but I'll leave it at that. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But you were going around the halls of Congress trying to give information out to the criminals that were residing in there at that time. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that bill was so significant, that and many of these the other so-called free trade agreements that have been implemented to destroy the economy of this country and bring us to where we are today, and they aren't done yet. They're not done yet.
No.
They're just getting started, really, Bill.
Right. Well, the when that came to my attention, when they were talking about passing that or confirming it, it's a two-volume set. It's a long read, very detailed. But I read those two volumes. I was on a TV show and radio shows at the time, and I talked about what I found to be most egregious in there. First of all, after three years, and originally it was supposed to be a treaty between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And there again, eliminating the borders. That was what it was all about. It was eliminating sovereignty and combining these three countries. But in the details, after 3 years, any country could join. And that's virtually what's happened. The other one, which I found totally unconscionable, was the review of actions was done by a court, an international court, that had absolute immunity. And so they couldn't be held accountable for anything they did. It's the same thing that judges have in this country. They think they have absolute immunity. They don't, but not lawfully, but they have it because the enforcement arm says, yep, you got it. And it's very, very difficult to sue a judge. Well, that's the same thing with the NAFTA provision. So I wrote a paper, it was 2 pages, and then put in some backup documents and articles, and we copied all that. It was 4 of us. We copied all that, and I made up a service list for each representative. At the time, it was in the House, and we had it organized by building, by floor, by room number. And I'll finish up when we get back.
Hang on, everybody. We've got to go to break. 3 minutes, we'll return. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. William Taylor Riley is my guest today. We're talking about all kinds of different things today. So 800-313-9443 is the number you'd like to join.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Everybody, it's Maggie Rod, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion. William Taylor Ryle is my guest this morning. Please go ahead and finish the point you were making, Bill, before we went to break.
Yeah, so there were, besides those two issues, there was really elimination of opening up the borders for trade and no tariffs and those kind of things, which, according to the original Constitution, where the funding of the government was to come from
tariffs
and imports and exports and so forth. Not from income tax, which, of course, is unconstitutional. It can't tax a wage. But at any rate, so we put together this package, and I organized it so by building, by floor, by room number, and everyone who got them signed for it. And so four of us went down early in the morning to Washington, D.C., and we worked out of Kurt Weldon's office and had all these documents in boxes and went with the list to serve all 435 documents, which we did in the day. It was a long day, and got signatures for service, for everything. And the instructions were, don't vote for NAFTA. We instructed them not to do that.
Sure, sure.
And of the 435 documents which we served, I got four responses.
And when was this, 1991 or something? When was NAFTA signed?
96. I think 95. I forget exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Time
either.
Runs together when you're having fun.
Yeah,
but at
I'm
any rate,
yeah.
the consistent response, which apparently this was the talking point, we're doing this for jobs.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
The result
yeah, please.
Of
they
that,
were doing all of that mergers and acquisitions for jobs, too. That was working out real well for a lot
right.
of people in the 80s.
But
and we were told, oh, gee, well, forget about all those jobs at Ford plants and all those kinds of things. We're moving away from that. Now you got to get into computers. Computers, the thing to get into. I remember that back in the late 70s, early 80s. Oh, that's the thing. Get into computers. That'll be the place to get a job at. And, of course, where are all the jobs in computers now? Ha-ha, they're not here in the USA.
Because these agreements, like NAFTA and GAP, make it easier to transport the businesses overseas, to Mexico, to South America. That's what it's all about. It was about jobs. It was about losing jobs here in this country. That's what it was about. Equalizing everybody so you have two classes, the elite and the peasants.
Yep. Well, right. Even radiologists are reading x-rays in Australia when you're working night shift or something here. And there's no radiologist to read the x-ray. They send it off to someone over in, Australia, because it's midnight here, it's noon there, and,
just make a call on your credit card and find out who's telling you what's going on. It's somewhere in India or whatever.
Because they're
farmed out. I mean, when the people work for pennies, an hour, why in the world would they pay? Well, now what they say is they're going to raise the minimum wage. That's
please, pound salt.
Thing.
I can't take these lying people anymore. I'm telling you, Bill.
Just make it
but
so.
All I can stand, I can't stands no more. That's all I got to say.
Well, we have a right to work for what we want to work and work where we want to work. That's an absolute right part of liberty. And this country's got to realize that, you can't control free market. Not free market, but free enterprise.
Yeah, these aren't free markets. They're rigged against us. There's no freedom in these free markets. There's nothing free about them at all. I wanted to mention something else that I started to say and then I got sidetracked, but I wanted to mention to people out there listening, the public access TV, I don't know all of the rules of it, but I do know that you're supposed to be able to, you could give them some little video or clip or something for them to play, or you could even do a little show. I know someone here was doing a show on a local public access station, and they're not supposed to charge you either. And I don't know the particular laws or rules or whatever it is. I don't know. It's paid for with your cable bill tax or something like that. I don't know exactly.
Well,
my point is that people could use this as a medium to get information out. Listen, if you don't feel comfortable with doing anything other than get up there and read a document, read the Constitution.
Well, I did
read the Bill of Rights.
I did that for a number of years on various cable access. I do know something about that. It is generally negotiated when the cable company got the franchise in the community. If the community was doing their job, they would negotiate for the cable company as part of the privilege of stringing those cables all over the community and charging everybody for television service. They put up these and fund these stations. And it's open to the people. It's managed by some very talented people, usually, depending on your community, how strong it is and how strong the negotiation was. Here in Pennsylvania, there was a lot of very good negotiations. I was on the York community access cable for several years. We did a program called The Constitution and You. It was 30 minutes every week. We went down as a group, and you have to man the cameras and the audio equipment. It's, a lot of self-service stuff if you're going to produce a program. Or you can have a live program. I had a friend who had a live program for a couple hours, and I was a guest on that frequently. But call-in program. And so it's a service put on by the for the community by the cable company and paid for by the cable company. And it's a great service. And if your community was really on the ball when they were putting these cables in, you got a studio that's well equipped and on. And, then the merchants in the area, sometimes they provide advertisements so they get funds for that. So it's run for the benefit of the people in the community. And it's a great deal.
Yeah, and I actually went with someone who had done a show for a long time and wasn't doing it anymore, but we went and recorded a little show for half an hour, and they were playing it. And I was talking about you and Agenda 21. But you know, people could, this is a way, this is available, this is a way for you to just get more information out there. Put this information out there. You can do it. And I don't know, where do they look for information to find where their public access television station is locally, Bill?
In Pennsylvania, it's by the county. So look in the
county.
So
a place for somebody in some other state to look is a good place to start is to look through the county first?
Yeah, because the county is the building block of our government, and these cable companies had to negotiate county by county to string their cable.
Okay.
And so if I was looking, I'd start looking at the county seat and see if there isn't a community access cable facility in there or some town. I know that, as I said, in York, just in the outskirts of York, up in Redding, which is the county seat for Berks County here. I've been on that cable network quite a bit. And the point is, I'd start with the county or in the phone book, look for community access cable.
Okay. Now, we've got a caller I want to grab in a minute. I want to take him, but then I want you, when we come back, because I know she was telling me that some of the cable TV stations were telling her that she had to pay to put her programming on their television station. You shouldn't have to pay.
I think it really depends on what was negotiated and how they set up their business. Here in Pennsylvania, you don't.
Well,
it's a membership. You know, people join as members, but you do have to do the work. You can't. They don't have staff to run the cameras and that kind of stuff. They usually have staff to help people understand and train you and that kind of thing. But there needs to be a member of the community access, which then gets you in the door.
Yeah. Well, they were trying to charge her, and this is here in Pennsylvania. But anyway, people need to – this is a free – should be free to you. This is a way to get information out there. Anyway, let's grab this caller, Mike in Kentucky. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Yeah, I've worked in and around television for a long time, and the FCC, starting, I guess, back in the 70s, it was called Community Antenna Television. That's where you get this CATV.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly municipalities or cities put up a community antenna system, and it was actually owned by the cities. Well, at some point, you know, as satellite distribution became more available, they allowed these outside companies to come in, and the counties and the cities are the franchise granting authority. So not only the counties, but in the case of Pennsylvania, may have the overriding authority, but the cities as well. And a lot of this is political. You know, only certain churches will get on, you know, the public access channel. And there's also FCC regulations on the size of the market, so that in smaller markets, in a lot of places across the country, you may have a state authority in Pennsylvania that has overridden the FCC regulations. But if you are not in a big enough community, the only options you may have is purely local. As the saying goes, all politics is local. And since that city and county, wherever it is across the country, is the one that grants that franchise, they also get payments for every subscriber that is on that system. Now, they're supposed to audit that and all that. So if you can prove that they're not, you know, that there's something going on shenanigans-wise, they're not getting enough money from the cable company, you know, that's a leverage. As you can say, look, we know you have more subscribers than you're getting paid for. You know, where's the rest of this money? But it is true that it is with that local franchising authority that is the power. And you can, you know, most of these places are not required by the FCC. The cable company is not required to provide a local access studio and cameras and equipment. You're talking, in some cases, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for decent equipment. You know, if you buy it new, obviously you can play games with eBay and try to get used stuff. But the real power is going to be with your local people.
Hang on, Mike. I want to hold you over. We're going to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Hang on, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up? Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Your body is constantly fighting off the invaders in the way of bacteria, viruses, pathogens, and so forth. The colder weather is a winter wonderland for these guys. What you need to do all the time, but more so during this season, is to strengthen your immune system. And you can do it with Daniel Chapter 1's A and B Biotropins. Acidophilus and Bifidus from frozen human strain is your frontline defense to the invaders. For years, Daniel Chapter 1's customers have been using A and B Biotropins. They've found that they are so effective, it's common for them to do them regularly to keep their immune systems in tip-top shape. Protect yourself with A&B Biotropins. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. For a discount, use promo code 200A. That's promo code 200A.
Are you ready?
Everybody, this is Maggie Rod. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. There's a contact button on there. If you want to send me an email, please go right ahead. So go ahead, Mike, with what you were saying about
Kentucky
all this
and other states that are similar to, with the county infrastructure. You're going to want to go to the fiscal court or to your city council. They are the franchising authority in that municipality or county. And I don't know how it works in all the states, obviously, because some states are divided up into townships and things, and the county, has four or five townships per county. And then there's cities in addition to that overlaid, so you've got almost three layers of government there that could be a franchising authority in states like Ohio or somewhere else. But that's where you're going to have to go, either to the fiscal court in your county, you know, and get a group of people. Like, say, if there's four or five churches that say, hey, where's our public access? You know, you could have a modulator in two or three locations, and they would have a time-sharing agreement where you turn on that modulator for a certain amount of time, and then it goes to the other thing. Each of these different churches could have their own of time allotment, and technically it will work where you turn off one studio and another one comes on that same channel, you know. So it doesn't have to be one studio either. Occupying the same channel. I've seen that done. It's going to be that the roadblocks that you're going to face, and a lot of times it's a negotiation. You need to be friendly with these people. You don't need to go in there and demand, say, I know that the FCC regulations say this, that, and that. They'll just laugh at you because a lot of times there's loopholes. A lot of times there's an out, and they can find a regulation that says, well, this this says we have to do it here, but over here it says it's optional. You know, they can put up roadblocks. So you do have to be friendly and negotiate with these people. But if you have a pastor's association or you have, you know, a merchant's association or something like that behind you, you're going to have more power to go in there and say, look, we know we can have this, you know. And maybe you negotiate and say, look, we will find our own equipment, you know, and things like that to get yourself something that is not under the control of one of these major, what is it, six major corporations control 90% of the media in this country now. And Clear Channel Radio, Mitt Romney's, is under Mitt Romney's puppet organization or something. They control nearly 1,000 radio stations now, and plus syndicate all these conservative talk show hosts. They're all under the thumb of that one investment group and Clear Channel Radio. I mean, the people need media that is not under the thumb of these mega corporations, and this is pretty crucial. A lot of people laugh at some of the programming that's on these public access channels, you know, and you do run the risk of having, you know, every now and then there'll be some kooky group on there that's worse than Wayne's World, you know.
Well, but still, you know, somebody, if you can get information out to a handful of people, I mean, and they talk to another handful of people,
right,
and so on and so forth,
yeah,
any way we can to get the word out there, we have to explore. Let me ask you another question, Mike, because you seem to obviously know about all of this stuff. You know, I've often thought that, you know, I don't know how these little Part 15 radio stations work, but do you know about that? I mean, people could set up one of those and rebroadcast all of the network's programming through those. I don't know what it takes. Listen,
well, I don't know how long you've been involved in the, whatever, the Patriot Movement or the alternative media, but there was a veterinarian, trying to remember his name, Dr. Eugene Schroeder, back in the 90s. He did the legwork and went out and researched a lot of this. We are under multiple different national emergencies and declarations of war and things like that have never been rescinded, going back perhaps as far as the 1917 Trading with the Enemies Act, the banking emergency of 1933, various different presidential declarations and things, the most recent of which is the one that was declared after September 11th. And there's provisions in the FCC code that date back to the Cold War, I think an amendment in 1956. It says during war or national emergency, no application or fee is required to broadcast license. So you can try to stand on that if you've got some activist, you know, lawyers that will help you. But there's been several cases where stations have been on the air for several years, up to 10 years. I think the longest one, unlicensed, that never had a license was in Southern California. And when the FCC showed up to confiscate their equipment and shut them down, and even some of the licensed broadcast stations got on the air and told what was going on, and when the FCC went to leave, all their tires were slashed. That was in, like, 2006, maybe. That station had been on the air for 10 years, and there was a more recent or a more well-known one among the Patriot community was up in, I think, Minnesota or Wisconsin. And initially, they thought they were standing on the unlicensed provision that there were no low-power licenses granted under 100 watts on the FM band. You could not get a... You know, way back, I guess, in the 70s, when FM first came out, you could get a 10-watt station for campus, like for a university. And they did away with that, and the least you could get was 100 watts. And that'll carry 100 watts if you've got the right antenna, will carry 30 miles.
Hang on one more segment, if you would, for me, Mike. Hang on, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural colon flow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. Colon flow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. And please go ahead if you would. And I would also ask, Mike, if you would do me a favor, would you contact me? Because I'd really like to talk to you more about this.
Oh, well, yeah. And what I was getting at with the, you know, if you can get a, if you can make it to where these local authorities, where it costs them little to nothing, you know, like a, the studio that they would use would be in the basement of a church or something like
uh-huh,
that,
uh-huh.
Then it becomes very hard for them to stop you from doing it. And
I
once you get one of these local stations that builds a local audience, they are hard to get rid of because politically, you know, it makes it kind of hard to get rid of you. But the citation, I wanted to give you the citation for this one thing on low-power stations. U.S. Title Code 47, Section 308, and it's an amendment of 1952, subsection A. And the text of that says, provided that the commission may grant construction permits and station licenses or modifications or renewals upon written application, and then the exception is, except that during war or national emergency periods, no formal application needs to be filed. I think, you know, all you have to do then is to show that, demonstrate that there's more than one national or emergency period that we are under. And there's also something that the FCC has called special provisional authority where they let stations that are out of compliance continue broadcasting under special provisional authority. It's like that old Animal House joke. a double super secret probation.
Yeah,
they don't publish this stuff. They don't let people know about it because they don't want it taken advantage of, I think.
Yeah.
But that is their special provisional authority is oftentimes why some stations are still on the air that shouldn't be, perhaps. And I think that's happened over the years. And eventually, though, when it becomes expedient for them to do so, they will shut them down or issue a big fine, and then they go away. But, you know, it's... It's often a puzzling thing, I think,
yeah,
to a lot of people why some stations are allowed to continue. Before they shut down a lot of this hacking of satellite paid TV.
Maggie?
Yes.
I'm going to have to sign off for a minute. I'll call right back in.
Okay, sure. Go ahead. Do what you
got to
do, Bill.
Yeah, I've got to go too soon. But there was a rash of this hacking of these small dishes, you know, the Dish Network and DirecTV, and there was things called football cards. For years, you could get these bootlegged and whatever, and you'd basically watch anything that was up there in the sky. And there's literally thousands of channels up there, but there's no room, supposedly, for a lot of these local stations, these little independent stations. There's not enough room, supposedly. Well, a guy that I knew that was doing this was, for his own use, was hacking these satellite cards. For him and his dad, he gave me one because he said, well, they're going to shut them down. And so I got a hold of one and set up my own receiver. And I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was up there on satellite from local stations in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana. And, I mean, the quality was horrible. The pictures were dark. You couldn't even see some of these movies they were running. And of course, I saw stuff, news that, it was on local affiliates, like you may remember that Beltway sniper up in Columbus.
Right.
And local Channel 4 was covering that 2-3 weeks before it made a national story.
Hmm.
And at the
Listen,
time.
Listen, Mike, I want to let you go because I've got another caller, but I would appreciate it truly if you would contact me because I'd really like to know more about this. I think it's important.
Yeah, it is, so, to get people to be able to do it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. So please, my website is theunsolicitedopinion.com, Mike, or you can go right through RBN and get my email address right off the network's website. So thanks for calling in.
I may have emailed you before and you didn't get back with me a couple months ago.
Well, I got to tell you, Mike, I get a lot of emails.
I'm sure.
You know, I apologize, but I get a lot of emails. So I don't know whether you've contacted me or not, to be honest with you, because a lot of people contact me. So send it again, okay?
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Let's go to this other caller, John.
Yes.
You on with me? Hi. I don't know if Bill's back or not. I know what's going on that he had to hang up, but yeah, he's not on with us. But go ahead. Talk about what's going on with you, John, please, if you would.
Well, I live in a small rural area in New Jersey, a township, and they're recently introducing a new ordinance. Basically, I think that the primary focus is just to get compliance with building codes and that sort of thing, which I don't really have an objection with.
You will when they start telling you can't plant a petunia in your front yard. Yeah, you're going
to. Well, and that's what it seems to be coming down to. And, you know, one of the things is obviously inspections and the right of entry. You know, it's almost like, you know, they position this or they say it in such a way that it is a request to inspect. But my question is it a request or is it a demand? For the simple reason that if you refuse the inspection, you're subject to a fine of $250 up to $2,000 and 90 days in jail. And that would be just if you tell them, no, I don't want you to inspect my home.
Well, they have no right to come on your property in the first place.
Well,
they have no right. They have no right to come and see inside your house. I know what these crazy people are doing all over the country, but they have no constitutional right or authority to come on your property and look in your house. They have no justifiable reason to do that.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And not only that, but it appears that the properties are going to be selected. The verbiage in the ordinance says that any property subject to request. And, you know, in fairness, shouldn't it be all properties if they're going to mandate and apply fines if you refuse? Shouldn't that be across the board, similarly to how they do tax assessment? pretty much you don't have a choice. You need to be reassessed. In this case, it appears as though they can be selective as to who they're going to bother and or invade and who they don't. And my question there is just like, okay, you know, is the mayor's house going to be inspected?
No, it won't be. You know, no, we're supposed to have an equal application of the law, but we don't have those types of things going on anymore in this country, if they indeed ever really did in the first place. It doesn't exist. But unfortunately, my little constitutional scholar isn't back on the line with us. I don't know what he had to hang up for. But so I can't give you the verbiage that Bill would give you, but I can tell you that they don't have a right to come on your property and demand that they see the inside of your house. They have no right.
It's not just inside. It's anywhere they want to go on your property.
Yeah, they don't. You know, one of the groups that I had on my show, and they have a no trespassing sign that I suggest you get and put on your land, on your property, is the National Association for Rural Landowners, and I can't think of it. It's NARLO.org. I'm not sure off the top of my head. But if you go to their website, you're going to find the verbiage for these no trespassing signs. You can buy one from them, or I'm sure you can, you know, use similar verbiage yourself. But I would highly suggest doing that. And if you want, get in contact. Do you have Bill's email address? I know you're in contact with Face Off, the Fight Against Code Enforcement Office, and they probably have they given you Bill's address. My guest who was on, who just had to step away from the microphone for a little bit?
No, I don't have his email address.
Okay. I'm back, Maggie.
Oh, okay. Did you hear anything at all of what this gentleman had to say? What he said in a nutshell, Bill, is he's in Jersey and they want to come on and inspect people's properties, come inside their home and inspect them, and they're going to fine them if they don't allow them to do that.
Well,
for no justifiable reason.
Yeah. Just quickly, I don't know enough about what's going on, but frankly, if New Jersey Constitution and the federal Constitution means anything, but we're really talking about the New Jersey Constitution, which I would suggest you look at. Last time I checked, for the government to come into your house on your property, they need a warrant.
That's true. I read that in the Constitution also.
All right. And so when somebody passes an ordinance, they think they're little gods, that say they don't need that warrant, then you need to step up. Your community needs to step up and say no. And force them into a court. Either they take you, if they try to do it and you say no to them. As I said before on this program, if it were me, I would meet the individual at the door and ask him to show you the constitutional authority for him to be on your property. And if he doesn't have it, politely ask him to leave and come back with that authority. And without it, don't come back.
Right.
All right. And they will probably come back. And then, you know, they may not. They may decide, hey, this isn't worth bothering with. Hopefully that will be the case. But I would also recommend that you then go to the issuing authority, whoever that is, the township or municipality, whatever it is, give them a copy of the state constitution, instruct them to read it and understand that they are violating the law with this ordinance. And unfortunately, they probably didn't tell you about it when they were doing this ordinance. They sort of snuck it in. And then it's allegedly law, but it's not. It's color of law. And so what you want to do is go and challenge them to stop them bothering you. If they bring a suit, I would recommend that you and your neighbors fight it. And then ultimately, if you can't do it yourself, you need to try to find a constitutional lawyer, but fight it on constitutional grounds that they have no authority to come on private property. If
well,
there's probable
I agree with
cause of a crime, then they can, but what you're doing in your house isn't a crime.
Well, further, I read in the Constitution that they do have the right to, you know, to circumvent a situation where it's visible to the public or causes some harm or danger to the general public at large, you know, health and welfare, that sort of thing. Most people in this area, you can't even see the house from the road. This is a very rural area of New Jersey. And that's part of my question, too, is, you know, is it limited to what is visible or causing a nuisance to others? Or can they just come on, like, for instance, on my property, my driveway is more than half of a mile through the forest?
Well, the answer is no. The point is this whole concept of health, safety, and welfare, this whole zoning concept is unconstitutional. It started in New York City in 1916. Couldn't possibly apply for the rural areas. And they've just swept across this country and imposed it, again, to get the government control. And your response there, first of all, if you understand what the word public means, it means the entire nation, the entire state, at a minimum, the entire community. So what you're doing on your property couldn't possibly affect the entire community. It may affect your neighbors on each side, and you know, you can't pollute the water. That's going to, you know, get in the aquifer and those kind of things. But the size of the property you're talking about, that happened is zero to none chance. So there is some restrictions with nuisances. It used to be nuisances were the primary charge. That was a misdemeanor here in Pennsylvania originally. So it's a pretty serious thing. But this health, safety, and welfare, they often leave off the words public. And public means like the public municipal building. Yeah, they can write ordinances and regulations for those buildings, but they can't write ordinances for private property. That's absolutely contrary to any concept of freedom and liberty and your right to acquire, possess, and protect property. And they turn it into a crime by just simply ignoring our laws. And until people stand up and say to these local governments, you have no lawful authority, not constitutional authority, to do this. You might have something from the governor on the municipal planning code and that kind of thing, but it is not law. And I would suggest that your community get together and go and explain this very succinctly to the people who are making these ordinances and challenge them. Of course, they're going to have a solicitor who says, yeah, they can do it, and then you all need to be willing to stand up and say collectively and individually, no, you're not going to come on our property without probable cause and with a warrant.
And I've had success battling in that forum before when I did a subdivision here on this property. They tried to deny me the economic benefit of my land, and they made it so they just riddled the process with obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And finally it came down to denying me the economic benefit. And I have a law library here, so I checked it out. I brought precedent to them, and I could just go on and on about the different hoops that they ran me through, but it's just ridiculous. But a couple of questions on this.
Before you go on.
Go ahead.
The way to stop them from doing this, the only thing they really look at is losing funds.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have imposed themselves on you and violated your rights,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times suits settle without going to court. And so, you know, bring in a very costly suit against these people for violating your rights. You can find someone to do that. Tends to calm them down. And then they'll stop doing this silliness. All right? They don't like to lose positions nor funds. That's sort of what, you know, lose their job or their funds. That really upsets them. So that's the way to put a crimp in their style, in my opinion.
And really, this is all about collecting funds, because,
sure,
you know, the fines, by the way, you know, in America, I believe the concept is innocent till proven guilty. And like, for instance, when you get pulled over by a police officer for a moving violation of your automobile, you're given a citation and you're not fined until it goes to court. In this case, they appear to be able to assess a fine at the time of the violation. In other words, at the time, assuming that you let this inspector on your property, he can then write you tickets and cause you fines without ever being heard.
Well,
and, you know, that bothers me a little bit. And I wonder, you know, if you're found later to have resolved the situation or corrected the violation, are they going to refund those fines? I mean, is the fine a punishment, or is the fine, what is the purpose here? Is the purpose to create revenue, or is the purpose to correct violations?
No. Zoning. We need to do this again. Zoning is a procedure that's put in for local control and collecting revenue. That's it, and it's all unconstitutional. I can show you that. In fact, if you contact me, I can email you some stuff. But the point is, maybe I ought to put it up on the site, Maggie, then that's maybe the thing to do, is that zoning is there to control the community, and in fact, impose the will of a very few people on everybody else. and it's not constitutional. You don't have any property rights if they can do this. And so what's happened is our country's been converted away from a constitutional republic to whatever it is now, whatever you think it is, but it's not a constitutional republic. And we the people have got to go back to the foundations and say, government, this is your job. You step out of this job, you have no authority, and we're going to stop you from doing it. And there's lots of mechanisms to do that. But the zoning process, and it's the licensing process, when you go and get a permit, there's the music.
Yeah. Hey, hang on. We're going to be back in 3 minutes for the final segment. Don't change that dial. My name is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Hey, everybody, it's Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. We've only got a couple minutes left, John, but I actually have your email because Allie from Faceoff had forwarded it to me. So I will send you Bill's contact information so that you can continue this conversation if you so desire. But, Bill, please go right ahead. Finish your thoughts. We've got just a couple minutes.
Yeah, I was going to suggest, but I thought about it over the break. Last Friday, we had an extensive conversation about permits and licenses. It's on podcast. I guess that's January 5th. So maybe that's a place to go, and you can get caught up a little bit. By all means, call me or send me an email, and we'll continue the discussion. But there are several things. But primarily, I would say to everybody, if you're having these kind of problems, stand on constitutional law, and your community needs get together, because you need to get these local municipalities or authorities under control. Really,
well,
do.
this is somebody emailed something about city officials doing annual inspections of renters in apartments. They come in his home every year, roam around in every room inspecting things. I mean, this is just totally all unconstitutional, Bill. These people have no right to come in your home, whether you're in an apartment or you're in a house. It makes no difference. They have no right to do these things.
That's right. You're entitled, according to constitutional law, to quiet enjoyment, and you'll find out that it's being violated every day, particularly about renters. And then they rent. They are the same as the owners. The owner has certain rights, too, but the government, no, not at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you want to get a hold of Bill, you know, I'll shoot you an email after the show.
Yeah, that'd be great, Maggie. And,
okay,
you know, just
John.
One last thing I'd like to say on that is that if they were going to impose these inspections or attempt to, I think they should be right across the board. And Maggie and I spoke about this, Bill, before you came back on the phone. It appears that they are going to select the houses to be, or the properties to be inspected. And my feeling is just that, you know, I read the Constitution enough to know that there is no law that should be passed that the people passing the law are immune to. And I said that poorly, but the bottom line is if it's a law or if it's an ordinance, it should be everybody. And therefore, I'd like to see the report on the mayor's house and the other board members here as to whether or not their house fully conforms with the New Jersey standard for habitable. And the last thing I'd like to say is just that I understand concerns with regard to human, safety and a house being, you know, up to a standard, whatever that standard is. Again, it should be for everybody. But it goes on to say use. And while I understand that, like, I have a shed that used to be the house.
Listen, I hate to cut you off, John, but truly, this show is going to be ending. I have to cut you off.
All right.
I hate to cut you off. You're welcome to call back into the show anytime, but right now we're running out of time here. The
All
show
right.
is going to end. I'll contact you after the show, John, so that you can get in contact with Bill. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Sounds great.
Thank you. Well, Bill, thanks for coming on with me today. I always appreciate it, and I'll send you his information, and, I'm telling you, it's just amazing what's happening all over this country.
It's everywhere, and I can tell everybody, we did fight this issue in Pennsylvania, went to the Superior Court, got an order. Actually, there's a Supreme Court decision out of Seattle, Washington, that is right on point, so I'll have to dig that up. It's been a number of years.
Yeah, dig it up, Bill.
Keeping the government out of your house is really important.
Yes,
so
it
thank
is.
Thank you for letting me on. I apologize for the intermission.
Not a problem.
All right.
Not a problem. See you,
Bye.
Bill. I'll talk to you later. Hey, listen, everybody. You know I love to go to Oz, somewhere over the rainbow. It's a wonderful place to be. Don't lose heart. Chin up, everybody. Listen, better days are coming. I feel it in my bones because there's a lot more people waking up every day, and it's a wonderful thing for you and I. So don't lose heart. Sun's going to come up tomorrow, it always does. And another great show follows mine, so don't change that dial. Take care, everybody.
Far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.